Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, Whitlock, I'm having my Halloween party tonight. Are you good to go? Are you locked and loaded? Do you have a costume? This is a question directly from my wife, Laura Travis, who has been concerned about your costuming and whether you're going to play by the rules.
I'm going to play by the rules. I'm going to come dressed as Fat Albert. It's going to be very easy for me.
That is really funny.
Hey. Yeah. Whitlock will be in the house.
That's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight, by the way. I'm geared up for Halloween in general.
The kids come by. How many Snickers are at your house right now? That's the key.
How many Snickers?
Is there a limit? Snickers candy bars.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. That's your overall number one candy draft?
Yes.
So we did the candy.
I like to shave the chocolate off, though, and so I may leave a little mess.
Really? What do you mean shave the chocolate off?
I like to take a knife and peel the chocolate off and just eat the inside of the Snickers.
That's kind of psychotic behavior, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. We had the Halloween candy draft yesterday on the show, and I don't know that I've ever been more disgusted with the Outkick listening audience. I don't know if you saw the Outkick. Let me see where I can find. I had notes. I wrote down everything that everybody drafted.
Snickers and Payday better be in the top five.
Oh, I mean, it was a disaster. So here was – I've got it right here for you, all right? You have not seen this yet, and I think – I just want to hear your reactions so you can – you're directly addressing the Outkick community right now. So first of all, the guys on the show drafted. I took peanut M&Ms, which I think is the best candy out there.
Solid choice.
The yellow box. I've been getting them since as long as I can remember at the movie theaters, number one choice. That was my pick. Danny G took the Reese's peanut butter cups. I think
Solid choice there.
Number three, Dub, who you know. And Dub, by the way, is down in New Orleans at a bachelor party right now. He has a better life than everybody. It's like his 14th bachelor party of the year. He took the Snickers, so you have some support.
You're
there.
Off to a hell of a start. What are you complaining about?
I agree. I mean, no. I'm not talking about the show. I'm talking about once people started to draft outside. Eddie Garcia, who's been doing updates now for 19 years on the Fox Sports Radio Network, he took Kit Kat. Again, I think a fairly solid choice.
And don't like him, but I won't complain.
Okay, then things went off the rails. Roberto took sour Skittles. He didn't even take Skittles. He could have taken the entire Skittles family. He went with sour Skittles, which is way too specific, and I'm not even sure his first-round talent. And it got worse from there. Are you familiar with the Take 5 bar?
No.
I'm not either. That was our overall number six pick, all right? Then we had the Butterfinger.
Not bad.
Three Musketeers.
Not bad.
The Hershey's Chocolate Bar.
Not bad.
Milky Way.
Bad.
And then a caller. Yeah, I agree. That was Jeff Schwartz, by the way, went Milky Way. Of all the things he could have drafted, he was our 10th pick.
Milky
he was
White
a guest
guy
yesterday.
Goes with Milky,
Milky
Way,
White guy, yeah, goes with yeah. Milky, yeah. In the 11th spot, things really got bad. Somebody called in and said, I'm going to take mini bags of potato chips. And I was like, nobody gives you mini bag of potato chips for Halloween. That's weird if somebody just had like the assortment of potato chips and you knocked on the door and they offered that to you as a parent, I'd be nervous. 12 sweet tarts, like the old school big like circles. 13, we had Starbursts. And then 14, Twix. Maybe it's not as bad as I thought, but then we finished
Well,
really...
the fact that Payday never made it is
Oh,
crazy.
I know. I agree with you. I talked about Payday. Then we had Pierce's Salt Roll, which I've never even heard from. South Dakota should be ashamed for that pick. Candy Corn, which is just a disaster from Indianapolis, your hometown. And then we had on Dr. Chow took the Nestle Crunch. So that was as far as we got because then Dub had to leave yesterday to go to the
bachelor
party. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was a fun discussion. You are a big Snickers guy. Did people, when you lived in L.A., did they come around to your apartment and trick or treat, or did you have candy ready?
No, you know, those buildings where I live, you got a concierge,
yep.
You can't get in. But Halloween is one of my favorite holidays, and when I lived in Kansas City, my house was the most popular house in my entire neighborhood. By the time I moved from Kansas City, people would drive in from other neighborhoods to trick-or-treat at my house because you only had to come to my house to have a good Halloween.
Yeah.
Literally. I gave kids enough stuff, one kid enough stuff, that he didn't need to do any more trick-or-treating.
I
went all in.
Our neighborhood, you've been to my house. Our neighborhood, I really think the best thing this neighborhood does is Halloween because everybody gets their houses done up. And then on Halloween itself, people go around. It's a very flat neighborhood, so there's not massive hills or anything like that in general. The homes are fairly close together, and everybody goes all in on it. Parents walk around with beers or liquor drinks. The kids obviously get a ton of candy in relatively short periods of time. I made this argument yesterday on the show. I think Halloween is the best holiday that America does now. Now, people are going to argue. They're going to say Thanksgiving. They're going to say Christmas, July 4th, whatever. Those can be very stressful holidays because you're usually – there's obligations. The great thing about Halloween is nobody really has to travel. Most people go trick-or-treating in their neighborhood, or if there's a better neighborhood, they might get in their car and drive a relatively short distance. And it's great for all ages now. You know, parents, like we're having our Halloween party tonight. Everybody can get dressed up. But also all the kids, you know, have such an incredible time. You don't have to worry about family fights. You don't have to worry about expenses in a big way. You know, it's not that expensive in general of a holiday unless you want to spend money on it. How would you rank the holidays?
Christmas would be down on my list just because I'm not into receiving gifts.
Yep.
And I'm not really all that into giving gifts at Christmas. I like to give gifts year-round. And so my favorite holiday, honestly, is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Good food, football, and I can fall asleep very quickly. So probably Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. And, you know, number two would probably be Halloween. It's the only one I really put a lot of effort into.
By the way, it is really pretty interesting. We're talking to Jason Whitlock at Whitlock Jason on Twitter. I know you've talked about before how we're both, when I was a kid, I was afraid, you know, I'd get home from school. I was always afraid I was going to get robbed or somebody's going to kidnap me or whatever, you know, riding the bus home, fourth, fifth grade. Do you watch scary movies or are you just not
No.
a scary movie guy at all? You won't watch
Not
them.
At all. Not at all. Have no interest in them. I've watched a few. I mean, I've seen The Exorcist. But no, that's not my cup of tea at all.
You'll like this. I've told this story before on the show, but I did when I was probably like 7 or 8 years ago, my family was out of town. And I was like, I got nothing to do. You know, when you're a dad and you got young kids, it's always busy. My wife was out of town. I think this was before we had our third kid. My family was out of town and I was still home. So I went solo to go see Paranormal Activity because my wife is not a big scary movie fan. And I was like, I'll go see this movie. I think it was Paranormal Activity. It was so scary when I got home, even at the age of, I don't know, 33, 34 years old, I turned on every light in my house. I locked the doors, and I had trouble falling asleep that night. That's the last. And then the other ones that I've seen, what's the trilogy that has been coming out? Not the Saw movies and not the Purge movies, but it's like about Annabelle and they have like the sort of spooky. I need to look up exactly what those are. I watch
Cleaver.
Those.
You remember Cleaver, don't you?
No, I haven't seen Cleaver.
So Sopranos, Christopher Moltisanti.
Oh, yeah. It was not Cleaver. All right, all of you are blowing me up. It's The Conjuring that I'm thinking of. I watched the last time, other than the Paranormal Activity, I watched The Conjuring on a cross-country plane flight. They had The Conjuring 1 and they had The Conjuring 2. Sorry, it was. I think I was going to Europe. So I had all this time. I couldn't do anything. And I sat and watched both of them. And I was like, oh my God, these movies are so good, but also so scary. So that is the last time that I really sat down and watched a bunch of horror movies. I like horror movies, but it's been a long time. Now it is Halloween Eve, and we got the party tonight. So I'll get to sports eventually. But this last question for you: do you believe in ghosts?
It's a good question. I'm gonna say yes, because if I say no, a ghost may overhear me and prove to me tonight that there is a ghost. So I'm going to say yes, I believe in ghosts.
So I believe that I have. I was kind of a casual believer in ghosts because I think there's lots of stuff we don't know that is real. And so I was a casual believer in ghosts. But I've told this story on the radio before. And this was about 4 years ago. It was in the summer. We went up to Northern Michigan, where my wife is from. I went to Michigan, and then we went up to Northern Michigan. We were in Traverse City, and we stayed in an old home in Traverse City, and it wasn't a good one, right? Like, all of the hotels were booked, and my wife booked this place, and, like, we parked in the back, and I was like, oh, no, I don't want to stay here. Like, that, and then my wife got mad at me, so I was like, okay, we'll stay here. But, like, we parked in the back. It's an old home. It was right in downtown Traverse City, but it wasn't really a great home. I mean, meaning that, like, you know, to me, if you go and stay in an Airbnb, like, you should want to stay in a place that's nicer than the place where you live, right? Like, I'm of the opinion that if I'm going to go on vacation, I want to be somewhere better than where I live. And so, anyway, the home was okay, but it was an early 1900s home, couple of blocks from downtown Traverse City. And so we got in there, and we had all three kids, and Katie, our nanny, who's been with us for 6 years, was there as well. And so the whole family's there. I stayed downstairs in a room with my middle son, you know, Lincoln Whitlock. So we were sleeping in a bed together. I think that was the first year of Billions. Or at least I was catching up with Billions. So everybody in the house fell asleep. I'm on vacation. I am sitting watching Billions on the iPad by myself. This old house, it's creaky, and so we go to sleep. All right, and so the house, by the way, Whitlock, my wife booked it. What do you think the house cost a night?
Big enough for a family with three kids.
Yeah.
And it's old. Airbnb. $1,200.
$85 a night. That kind of lets you in on the context of the kind of place that she booked. And if you want to bring this up with her later on tonight at the Halloween party, she's still mad at me about it. It cost, if you rent a house, lesson for you out there, if you rent a house for $85 a night, it's probably not a house that you're going to be, like, excited to stay in a big way, all right? So we go to bed, everybody's asleep. At the time, I guess he was like 5 or 6, my second oldest son. And so we're laying there, we go to sleep, and in the middle of the night, I fall asleep eventually after watching Billions. I should also mention, it's like 180 degrees in Michigan that day. You're supposed to go to the Upper Peninsula in Michigan where it's going to be cool and it's going to be relaxing during the summer. This is like the hottest day ever. There's no air conditioning in the house. So on top of it being $85 a night, it is like sweltering hot, like the hottest day of the year in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And so we're laying there, and as I'm laying there, I fall asleep, and then I wake up because my son next to me screams out in the middle of the night. He's having a nightmare. And when he screams out, we're on the first floor of this house. There's a little bit of an attic where my wife and the other son are sleeping in twin beds. As he screams out, I look through the door in the direction of the kitchen, and I see what looks like a person kind of sliding by. And I think to myself, oh, it must be either my wife or Katie who are up, you know, like maybe the baby needed a bottle, maybe there was something going on. And so I sit there for a little bit, like thinking about it, and just as I'm looking at it, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, this person doesn't have any feet at all. And I was like, that's weird. And then I was like, wait a minute, that person's in a dress, like a long old dress, right? Like not like a dress that a woman would wear today. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I look out and like I said, you know, I said, hey, we're okay in here before I realized what it was. And my eyes are adjusted and it's an old woman in an old black dress. She isn't walking. She's gliding across outside of the room. Can't see her feet. And I'm in disbelief. I'm like, oh my God, like what's going on? Am I awake? Is this for real? Is there some sort of shift in the, I'm not scared. Like I wasn't afraid. And so I get up and I walk into the next room, nothing there. Totally gone through the kitchen doorway, totally vanishes. I walk through the whole house. I check on everybody else. They're perfectly asleep. Nobody has moved. I wait up for a while to see if something might change. And the next morning, after I fall back asleep, I wake up and I tell everybody about what I saw. And they think, you know, because I feel like I'm kind of crazy because I'm never somebody who said they've seen a ghost before, right? It's my Halloween ghost story. So my kids don't care. They're not scared. I don't know what it is. So here is the part that's going to that's going to put hair on the back of your arms. When we leave this house to go somewhere else, my wife reaches out and asks the woman who we rented from. She says, "Hey, do you?" Maybe a silly question, but has anybody ever seen a ghost in the house before? Right. And so my wife emailed the woman and she didn't say anything about what I saw. And the woman responded to her via email by saying several people have told her they've been aware of the presence of an old woman, a dear old sweet woman named Hazel, who lived to be 101 years old and has been described as a kind spirit in the house. She had no idea what I had seen. That almost completely nails the exact same thing that I said I saw. The woman's dress, the time of period of time, you know, would have been like early 1900s, you know, kind of what you would expect a woman to wear then, all in black. Maybe it, like, I don't know if they had a funeral at the house of some sort or something like that. Like, that was a pretty unbelievable.
That's
unbelievable,
pretty good.
Right? I mean,
that's
so I don't know,
that's
but
a good
like.
Story.
Yeah, for my wife to hear that was crazy, and it made the hair, and probably some of the people out there listening right now is probably making the hair on the ends of their arms stand up as well.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Jason Whitlock rolling along with us. I said I would ask you about it, and I am curious. So I was there alongside of you for the day in the West Wing. But what did it feel like to interview the President of the United States? What did it feel like also to know that you were going to interview the President of the United States?
It felt amazing, and particularly sitting out by the Rose Garden waiting for the President to come out of the Oval Office to consent to the interview, and you just looked over your left shoulder and the President is at his desk on the phone conducting business, and I'm sitting there thinking about the journey, and you know, my mom's a factory worker, my dad didn't graduate high school, I was a poor kid in Indianapolis, and boom, here I am 30, 40 years later, sitting at the Oval Office waiting to interview the President. And that was overwhelming, and so some people thought I sounded nervous at the beginning of the interview. I was actually just overcome with emotion, just sitting there. I'm talking with the President of the United States about my mother and my father, the people that made great sacrifices for me. And it just, I mean, just what a journey. And I say that, you know, for people that, you know, are anti-Trump or whatever. I'm sorry, the guy's the United States president, and I'm at the center of American power and world power and talking to a world leader. That's a hell of a ride for a chubby little kid from Indianapolis that, you know, graduated high school with like a 2.7 grade point average and Ball State with a 2.3 and probably did a little more drinking than studying when I was at Ball State. So, you know, incredible journey and just an overwhelming feeling of, wow, you can do anything here in America.
Yeah, it is. I felt the same way when we had the president scheduled to be on the radio program. Was just, it's crazy to think about where you begin when you get to interview the president of the United States. I think no matter who you are, when you're in our universe, it is an opportunity to kind of sit back and realize, reflect upon maybe the places and the steps that you've made to get there, regardless of who the president is. I understand some people out there, like my wife was telling me about this, and she'll probably get mad at me for sharing it, so I'll have to be careful here. But she went on Facebook, and I don't spend any time on Facebook, right? Not a private Facebook page. I share things publicly, but I don't have time to, other than my own professional career, I don't spend any time privately on social media. If you don't have my text message and the ability to reach out or call me and reach out to me directly, I'm 41. You know, if I went to college or high school with you and you don't have the ability to contact me now, then it's probably because we haven't been in that great of contact over the years. So why would I particularly care about what you have to say now? You know, the last thing I need is more opinion. And that's not trying to be cocky or arrogant. It's just I care about the people that I actually know as opposed to what people are posting. So my wife is more active on her Facebook page with her friends than I am. But she posted the link to your interview and said, hey, you know, regardless of what your politics are, I'm excited for my husband's company and his partner, Jason Whitlock, got to interview the president of the United States. And regardless of what your politics are, it was a big moment for us. And here is that interview. Just to want to share it with you. And one of her family members was so mad, the family member defriended her.
And a family member?
Yeah, not a super close family member, but a relative. A relative. And like posted in the response, like she said to her, to the credit of people she follows, almost everybody was like, oh, that's cool. Or if they truly hate the president, right, they just decided not to say anything. But one family member decided to unfriend her and put, like, I don't know, what do you put, like a upset face emoticon in as a commentary, and then unfriended her. And I'm like, that's exactly why I'm not on Facebook, because I don't want to deal with petty family-related drama, you know, in any way. I deal with enough drama day-to-day sharing my opinions in life. But I do think it was just kind of indicative of, I'm sure there are lots of people out there listening to us right now who, if they're active on Facebook, they may have had a friend or family member that they've been arguing with about politics. And I'm just thinking to myself, that just sounds like a miserable way to spend your free time.
You know what's interesting? Listen to that story. With my family, being, you know, we're all black, and pretty much everybody in my family is a Democrat and, you know, a Barack Obama worshiper. You know, I get scorned in my family because I'm not political, and I don't think Trump is the worst thing in the world. And so, you know, a lot of people in my family don't like President Trump.
Yeah.
However, a lot of people in my family took great pride in the fact, like, oh, my God, my cousin who I grew up with that I know personally sat down with the president.
Yeah.
And it just fills them with pride. And one of my cousins that, you know, I grew up with very close, haven't talked to in a while, she just called me yesterday, and we sat on the phone for 15 minutes. Hadn't talked to her, I don't think, since Thanksgiving or our last holiday together. And we just sat on the phone and talked. She's got coronavirus, and she just wanted to talk to me about it. And it wasn't even stated that I had interviewed the president, but it was clearly part of the reason she was reaching out, and because she just thought it was like, damn, Jason Whitlock, that would just go up around the corner, you know, we spend every holiday together, blah, blah, blah. And I think it was just kind of eye-opening and a sense of pride that, like, wow, you really can do some great things from anywhere if you put your mind to it. And so literally, I wasn't really expecting that kind of response from my family because they're so, you know, in the Democrat camp. But the reality was they just took a lot of pride, and it kind of opened their eyes to somewhat to what I've always preached to my family. It's like, hey, man, put your head down, put the work in. You'd be amazed at what can happen.
It is pretty phenomenal. I think it's a great story out there. All right, let's dive into the upcoming weekend of NFL and college football. What do you expect to see when the 6-0 Pittsburgh Steelers go on the road, take on the 5-1, I believe it is, or maybe 6-1. Anyway, they only lost one game. The Baltimore Ravens lost to your Chiefs. What do you expect in the AFC North battle? What do you expect to see?
And Pittsburgh's getting points. I think maybe
yeah, they're
three,
plus
three
four,
and a half.
Plus four now, right now, is yeah. the most recent number I saw.
And so I love the Steelers.
Yeah.
I think Mike Tomlin is handling the social unrest, the COVID thing, better than any coach in the NFL. And I go all the way back to some things he did during the offseason and addressing their fan base while on the field before the season. And I think Pittsburgh is motivated and focused. Love their defense, love their defensive line. Bud Dupree, T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick in the secondary, their linebacker. I just think Big Ben, I think, is just going to continue to get better as the season progresses. And they've discovered this receiver, Claypool. I think they put it on Baltimore. I don't think their momentum stops. And when I say put it on them, I think they win by 5 points or so. And so I love that pick with them getting points. I'll take them on the money line. I'll certainly take them with the points. I think Pittsburgh's, and, you know, I'm jinxing myself because last week I said Tennessee's the best team in football. Pittsburgh knocked off Tennessee. So now I'm saying Pittsburgh's the best team in football right now.
Well, Steven Goskowski helped you because I think if he had made that 45-yard field goal, games goes into overtime. I think there's a good chance the way that game was going,
Titans
win. I think
that big lead that Pittsburgh built up, don't you think that helped a little bit?
I think that helped a little bit. But I thought, what's like a heavyweight fight? First several rounds were owned by the Steelers. Then the Titans kind of got used to the punch, and they came back. And I thought the Titans were going to win it.
Clay, you know, Pittsburgh won that game despite being down 3-0 in the turnover battle.
Yep.
That was utter domination. They lost the turnover battle 3-0 and still beat an undefeated Tennessee team. To me, Pittsburgh clearly proved we're the better team right now. That's not me jumping off the Tennessee bandwagon. I think they're a good team. But last Sunday, Pittsburgh put it on Tennessee.
What do you think happened, speaking of put it on? The 49ers traveled across the country and put it on Bill Belichick and Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Big question coming into this season. I think maybe the single most fascinating player in the entirety of the NFL was Cam Newton. If he played well with the Patriots, Josh McDaniels, obviously very successful offensive coordinator, and Bill Belichick, the greatest coach in the history of the NFL, I believe. If he played well for them, he was set up to make $75, $100 million because he's still not that old of a guy within the context of how old quarterbacks usually are. If he played poorly, he might not have an opportunity to ever start in the NFL again. Right now, we are trending towards the latter. Can Cam reverse the course he is on right now, or is the die cast? This relationship is not ending well.
Yeah, I think Cam is attempting to do all the right things. He played like crap last week, and he copped to it. And he accepted no excuses. Hey, Cam, you had COVID. Are you suffering the ramifications? No, man, I'm just not playing well, and I got to play better. And so he said all the right things. It's the best I've seen Cam handle a poor performance, and I love it and respect it. However, I just think Cam has the wrong personality for a franchise quarterback. Cam is a free spirit. You see it in his style of dress. Jeff Garcia criticized him after the game about, you know, look, why is he showing up to the game dressed that way? Why does he do all this, hey, look at me stuff? Cam is Rob Gronkowski playing quarterback. If Cam played any other position, and he could play a lot of them in the NFL, from wide receiver to tight end to outside linebacker to defensive end, hell, he might be athletic enough to play safety. He would be an awesome player in all those positions. But at quarterback, where every single step and every single decision absolutely matters. There's no time to take a mental break while you're on the field. He's just too much of a free spirit. And I don't say that as a major knock. And I told the story, Clay, my Periscope, the Fearless deal. And I told it during the Zoom call. I'm a lot like Clay Cam, a free spirit. I've had to tame my free spiritness to achieve a higher level of success later in my career, but I don't have it totally under control. That's why I told the story about style of dress. The way I showed up dressed to the White House initially, that was my inner Cam. Channeling itself, and I broke out in a sweat like, oh my God, I'm dressed inappropriately at the White House. I'm trying to do too much. I look very similar to the way Cam showed up to the game on Sunday. And luckily, you know, God made me sweat all through my clothes. I ended up getting new clothes and more conservative. But I'm a lot like Cam, a free spirit. It's the wrong mentality and personality to be a franchise quarterback, and that's what I think we're seeing in New England. He had one great season. He's been uneven most of the rest of his career. Now that he can't just run the ball every time he's in trouble, it really shows up. And so, as a franchise quarterback, I think Cam's done.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We're hanging out with Jason Whitlock, chopping up the NFL. One of the most interesting games, I think, that's out there, Whitlock. The Saints, we got all the Michael Thomas drama, and certainly the offseason Drew Brees drama. The Bears looked bad against the Rams. What do you think happens in that Saints-Bears game? Do you buy into the Saints as a Super Bowl favorite or a legitimate contender? And what about the Bears in the NFC?
I don't buy the Bears at all. And, you know, the Rams beat them up pretty good, and I kind of expected that. I'm not sold on the Saints. They have some chemistry issues. I think, you know, Sean Payton shot them down pretty strongly, these rumors that they might trade Michael Thomas, but Michael Thomas's injury issues, he beats up a teammate. Malcolm Jenkins and Michael Thomas take the shots at Drew Brees before the season. The mojo's not right for the Saints, but they got more than enough mojo to take care of the Chicago Bears. I don't believe in Nick Foles or Mitchell Trubisky. Not sure I believe in Matt Nagy. I think the Saints will take care of business against the Bears.
Are you interested at all in a big way in watching Tua make his debut against the Rams?
I'm not on the Tua hype train. And it falls under the category, and I know he's, because I've met Tua, he's about 6 feet and a half. I like quarterbacks 6'2 to 6'5 is my preference. And so I'm just not someone that thinks Tua is going to set the NFL on fire. I'd love to see him prove me wrong. He's a great kid with a great personality. But is that a game I have circled on my calendar? Let me see what Tua does against Aaron Donald and the Rams. No. Now, will I tune in to see what Aaron Donald does to the Dolphins? Yeah, because I like watching Aaron Donald. But Tua, eh.
By the way, and we're talking with Jason Whitlock at Whitlock Jason. I encourage you to go read his column and columns on a regular basis at OutKick. I'll finish it off with this. ESPN is doing a series on politics and sports. You wrote about it on Thursday on OutKick. What stands out to you so far about that series?
What's been avoided, and they're doing something on politics and NFL ownership and the change in the sports world, and you can't find anything directly talking about Black Lives Matter. And I think a lot of times when judging the media, you have to look at what they don't cover to figure out what the truth is. And they are not covering Black Lives Matter's impact on the sports world, and I think that's telling, or at least so far, the stories I've seen so far don't. And then, you know, there's an amazing story about Joe Lockhart's influence on the NFL. He had a job as their vice president of communications for 2 years. He quarterbacked their strategy as it related to Colin Kaepernick and taking a knee in 2016. And that, to me, is what blew up in the NFL's face. And I can't find anything about Joe Lockhart, who worked for the Clinton administration, worked for Michael Dukakis, worked for John Kerry, worked for Walter Mondale, Jimmy Carter. God, they hired a political activist, a left-wing political activist. It drove Jerry Jones crazy. It damn near cost Roger Goodell his job. And they're not writing about Joe Lockhart. So I found it kind of predictable and uninteresting so far what they have written. They're missing the elephants in the room.
Doesn't surprise you, does it?
Yes and no, because it does in the sense that if they went after these it's actually interesting.
Right.
Black Lives Matter's impact on pro sports is incredible. It's maybe the sports story of our lifetime. To me, it's bigger and more relevant than even COVID and what it's done to sports. So, to miss something that obvious, to not address something that obvious, does kind of surprise me.
Jason Whitlock, we address everything at OutKick. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Encourage you to go read his column. Go subscribe to the VIP. I'll see you later tonight at the Halloween party.
Thank you.
This is OutKick the Coverage with Clay Travis.